Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Bob, who is here to speak with us about an article he wrote for a recent newsletter. Welcome, Bob.
Thank you, Jen.
So first of all, it occurred to me that, you know, not everyone listening may know about the newsletters, and I think it's a really neat resource that comes out, and we actually don't get to talk about it that much, but it always has an article from the guide and a fabulous recipe from the kitchen and some neat photos from the monastery and that sort of thing. And one of the features that I love about it is that there's a place where folks have been practicing, have a deep practice over many years, get to just write about something that they're seeing in their own practice. And so you wrote the most recent newsletter article, and I was so struck by the very practical nature of what you were talking about and how much it really gets to the core of our practice. So I thought it would be fun to have you on to talk about it.
Great.
So maybe you could start by telling us kind of what inspired the article.
Well, I think it's one of those places of how we do anything is how we do everything. So, you know, I was invited to do the article, as people are, and there can be a place of what am I going to write about, you know, and trying to figure it out and figure out what's the right thing to write and what's the right way to write it. And I've seen that process a lot. And instead, I just picked a day to write it. And when I when that day arrived and I sat down to write it, I just wrote about what I was seeing at that moment in practice. And so it just happened to be that, you know, what I had written about was this, what I called a workshop of entitled No Self-Hate, where basically I'd done something unskillfully and immediately conditioning came in to deliver the usual beating about that. And then, you know, wrote about the process of actually, you know, showing up in that moment to practice around that piece of content.
Which is so huge, right? Because that's that place that we talk about all the time in practice, but I think is really the most challenging thing, right, is to be able to go to that place of not feeling bad, of truly no self-hate, when something, you know, that kind of feels like it gives self-hate ammunition, something that's happened, and in that place, just not doing it, just not going there.
Yeah, and as, you know, I wrote about in the article, you know, when all that self-hate came in, you know, it was pretty hard for it to gain hold because I'm immersed in practice, you know, in my daily life, and having you know, a solid practice, even though this was honestly just really above and beyond the usual level of self-hate that I encounter in my life now that I've been practicing for so many years. And I think it was the intensity of the self-hate that really kind of triggered me. It's like, oh, wow, okay, this is this is something I need to pay attention to. Not engaging the self-hate, but actually saying, what is going on here?
Yeah, and I think that's why it really caught my attention as something so helpful, because I project that that level of intensity is the place where we're meant to buckle, you know, and just do whatever I need to do to sort of, you know, whether that be to distract in some way or to that sort of thing. And what you said is so significant, that it's the amount that you've surrounded yourself with that allowed you not to do that. And can you say a little bit more about, you know, how did you pull that off? How did you manage that?
Well, I don't know that I pulled it off in the moment. I think it's more of an accumulation of practice because, you know, when I looked at the content, it's like I did not, you know, I'm not happy that I made that mistake. That was not, it's not how I would want to show up in the world to do something in the way that I did it, right? And, you know, I've seen that in other areas of my life where I might say something unskillfully to someone or not be present as I'm doing something and it goes awry. And I think that it was just when I saw that all that was there was self-hate, what I knew was it had nothing to do with the content, you know, nothing to do with me. And so I just, you know, really had to just, and it wasn't really a conscious decision. It was like, this is whatever is going on here, I just can't go down that road with conditioning. And so instead I'm going to do what I know actually works, which is, you know, make a recording, you know, sit and look at it. So how did this happen? And communicate, you know, the other pieces are things that have been, you know, well-worn kind of practices. And, you know, the one that conditioning really always fights me really hard on is the communicating. I've made a mistake. Don't say anything about it, as if that's going to somehow change something or make it better.
Yeah. And what we get, and especially now that the communication book is out, you know, I think we're going to start to see in the Sangha, well, the reason the pushback is so strong there is because the hide it is what's going to keep the suffering in place. So, okay, so he's mastered the piece of not feeling bad. He's mastered the piece of don't go there. But if then he can talk us into, quote, hiding it, not communicating, there's a whole other fertile ground for more self-hate.
Yeah, and that's where I think I was referring to in terms of the years of practices and before practice, where I know where it leads to not communicate. I know where it leads not to practice. Wow. You know, maybe for, you know, a 5-year-old boy, there was some sense of safety that he was promised that he could, you know, hopefully rely on. But, you know, there's just that's conditioning always promises there's some safety in kind of keeping it to yourself. And, you know, as I practice and as I, you know, see more and more, the safety is only the safety of staying with conditioning. It doesn't make anything better. It doesn't make, you know, it doesn't help the situation. It doesn't bring compassion to myself or the people around me. It's this word that really has no meaning anymore.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it becomes blackmail, essentially. You know, it's held over my head. And then there's so much freedom in communicating. And there were so many components, Bob, to what you said. First, really looking at the thing, right? I mean, I think for me anyway, in my experience, often the first thing it tries to do, self-hate tries to do, is to get us to turn away from it, right? Don't, oh, God, that's horrible. I can't believe you. You know, it's awful. Looking straight at it, you know, kind of with that, did I intend for that? No. You know, even if it's something that I said, right, I'm angry or I'm whatever, and I say something, still, when I look back at it, did I want to do that? Did I choose to do that? No, not at all. You know, as you say, I'm very clear about how I want to show up in the world, you know, how I want to be. And so that feels like the first step is to realize, no, of course not. And so, you know, to get in touch with any disappointment there is around that, which feels like that's the information that can help inform going forward. You know, self-hate is never going to assist us in that place, right?
Yeah, and it's that going forward place that I've been looking at a lot, which is that if I actually, you know, attend to what's there in the moment, you know, there's someone who's being beat up. There's something that I did that wasn't done right, and there are people out there who actually need to know that. And the only way for me to attend fully to those things is to show up and do those things that I know I want to be doing. And it's that play. It's that thing of, see if I can remember when he says, you know, it's well, you're making the behavior change, essentially, you know, to be willing to, you know, make a change in behavior as a way to make a change in consciousness. And that really is sort of the years of practice and a little bit of the faith piece where, like, you know, do I know that it's that's going to turn out that way? Well, in that moment, I might be still a little bit in and out of identification, so I'm not believing it. But I know that those are the things to do, and those are the behavior changes I need to make.
Yeah, exactly. And that was the other thing that struck me as you were talking is how much the training pays off. We've just got to keep doing it. And the thing is, you know, we were talking about this. We just finished a There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat yesterday, and talking about that place where how crucial it is to have that faith. I think you used that word a minute ago, to keep doing it. Maybe even many times where something happens and I'm, you know, attempting to, you know, not go to self-hate, and it feels like I still am, and I'm being tortured, but to keep doing, keep recording, keep showing up, keep going to the not feeling bad, you know, all of those things, because the training really pays off. And I think you said it beautifully when you said, I don't really feel like I did pull it off. It feels like it was just kind of what happened, because that's what I do.
Jen?
Jen,
we lost you there.
Okay.
Just that last line.
Just that last line. Basically, I was just saying that, you know, it sounds like that's what you were describing about, that the training really paid off, that it was there for you when you needed it.
Yeah, and I always think of it as, you know, kind of laying down new grooves in a record, you know, putting down a different track than the one that conditioning has etched into me.
Yeah, and it can take a while, you know, and that's all right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, we can
do it with
compassion.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, and so it's just, you know, a lot of gratitude for practice, for the person who's willing to kind of show up and do the practice, and everyone who supports it.
Yeah, and you know, the last thing that occurs to me is, to me, it's this whole thing is such a good illustration of how Sherry says there are no mistakes. Because I know for me, for years, then I do something like you're talking about and feel like, okay, well, what? I mean, there's a mistake, right? But here's the thing. You then had this profound practice experience out of it. You then wrote a newsletter article on it. So that was read by however many people. It inspired us to have you on Good News. So now however many people are going to hear that. So, you know, to me, that's such a perfect illustration of, well, maybe it was a mistake. Maybe it wasn't. There are no mistakes.
Great.
Yeah. So good. All right. Well, anything else, Bob, before we end?
No, I think that's pretty much it. And I think, like you said, these newsletters do come out every month. And so if you just go to that stay in touch section in on our website, there's a newsletter slot there, so you can check those out.
Yeah, perfect. Thanks so much for being with us, Bob.
All right, thank you, Jen.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And Michael, can you still hear me?
Yes, I can, loud and clear.
Okay, great. I've got one little announcement before I turn it over to you and Sherry.
Okay, great.
Which is that for folks who have not heard the last couple of radio shows, the Bridgewalk is officially launched. Bridgewalk season is here. And periodically we'll be putting up new stories of transformation on the Bridgewalk website, and there is a brand new one up there as of today.
Oh, fabulous.
Great. The easy way to get that, the straightforward URL, is our usual www.livingcompassion.org/BW, standing for Bridgewalk, /2019. And so that takes you to
the,
yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say livingcompassion.org/BW2019.
Exactly. Yep.
Okay, perfect.
And our next support call is tomorrow at 5 o'clock Pacific time, which
great.
Is a wonderful opportunity to get together with Sangha and get inspired and get technical support if you need that on your own fundraiser. Just hear what other folks are doing, get process support around your participation. It's just, a chance for all of us to get together and keep moving on our Bridgewalk journey.
Perfect.
That. Yeah.
Sounds great.
All right. Thanks, Michael. Have a great show.
Okay. Thank you. We will. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How you doing?
I'm great. I loved that conversation.
Wasn't that fabulous? Yes. Now, one thing
I
want to say before we get to that conversation, I heard you and Jen say two different things about how to reach the current Bridgewalk thing. I heard her say living compassion/BW/2019. And you only put one forward slash, and I don't know enough about technology to know if that is a critical difference. But I did hear you two say two different things, and I could have heard that incorrectly. So maybe Jen can hop back on and clarify.
Yeah.
Assume she didn't just go off to get her nails done while we do the radio show. You know, I don't know what those people do.
Hold on one sec here. I'll get her, and I just checked that URL too. Let me get Jen here. Okay,
hey, Michael.
Jen, I think you are back on. Yes?
I am back on, yeah. And I'm getting a text right now. I'm checking it, and I'm hearing that it's one forward slash. So I'm checking it to make sure. Yep, that takes you there.
BW
I think it actually,
2019. No, second one.
BW 2019, exactly.
Beautiful.
Yeah, and that comes,
all right.
That comes after the livingcompassion.org /BW 2019. Great.
That's right.
Lovely.
Yep.
See, wasn't that a stealth way to get everybody, get that reinforced about 1,000 times for everybody? No, I really did need it to be clarified. But now everybody's texting me, so this is good.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
Thank you, Jen.
All right.
Thanks, Jen.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that I wanted to talk about, I loved that conversation too, Michael, and I want to hear what you loved about it. But first I'll tell you what I loved about it, because otherwise I want to forget. Mm-hmm. That was when Bob was talking about the don't say anything. I realized that I've done something, and then the voice comes in, don't say anything. And it strikes me as so funny, because one of the things we learn about in politics, and I suppose everywhere else, but it's so glaring in politics, is that people don't get in nearly as much trouble for doing something unskillful or even illegal as they get into for covering it up.
Yes.
Which I think is really good information, that we all know stuff happens, right? But when you know it happened and you try to hide it, now you're in trouble. Because, you know, that's the nefarious part of it, right? Not the something happened. That can happen to anybody. I'm going to now try to hide it and cover it up. Okay, now I'm an evil doer, right? Which is, of course, what Bob was pointing at. That's what egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate wants to position us to be perceived as. Because it's going to come out, right? People are going to find out. And what that system wants is for us to be identified as the bad actor who was attempting to lie to people, basically. Get away with something.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. I just saw as you were talking that when I do something unskillfully, if I don't communicate about it, then conditioning can communicate to me a lot about it.
Oh, a
and
lot.
And will talk to me endlessly. And that's why it doesn't want me to communicate, because then there's no basis for the story.
Yeah. And it can hang over our head, right? So that blackmail element of, somebody's going to find out. You better be careful. You better, oh, God, it's just awful. Whereas as the expression, confession is good for the soul, I think that's where that comes from. You know, just say it.
Yeah.
Say it. And then all that awful stuff goes away.
Yes. And that's what I loved about the conversation with Bob and Jen. I did something unskillfully.
Yeah.
So?
Yeah.
And? I mean, I've been practicing for years.
Okay.
I still do stuff unskillfully on a regular basis. And?
Yes. Yeah. Because we never stop being human. And the thing that we're learning, of course, is unconditional love and acceptance, not how to be a perfectly conditioned and perfect human being by ego standards. That's not where we're going. We're going for unconditional love and acceptance and an awareness that we are good, sincere people who are doing the best we can all the time. And stuff happens, And what we do as practitioners, as Bob was pointing out, and Jen, the both of them in the conversation, but pointing out that this is how we learn. This is how we grow. This is how our understanding expands and deepens. It's not wrong. It's called growth.
Yes. Yes. Mm. Fabulous. Fabulous.
Yeah. What did you love? Or did we cover it all?
Yeah, I think we covered it. That piece of I did something unskillful and so what?
Yeah.
That happened.
Yeah.
So.
And now I get to learn something as a result of it.
Yeah, as long as I don't go to feeling bad, then the window for learning is wide open.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's no big deal, right? It's just not. It's this happened. Gosh, guys, this happened. Oh, okay, that happened. And then there's always a direction forward. It's not like the world ends right there.
Yeah.
And often something far better than we had envisioned comes out of it. It's just all good in every direction. And the last thing I would say about it is that Bob pointed out to us where we can find these. And so there for people who are new to practice, there's a bunch of these going back a long ways. And they're wonderful.
Oh, yes.
They're wonderful things that people can record them and add that to their, you know, when you're driving, walking around, doing chores, whatever, listening pleasure, and it'll be in your voice, and it's a great thing to put in your tool belt.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
And I have announcements here.
Uh-huh.
Okay, are we ready for those?
Yes.
Okay. Step away from the pressures of day-to-day living and immerse yourself in a monastic community completely focused on waking up at the Your Practice Retreat, October 23rd through 30th, at the Zen Monastery Peace Center near Murphy's, California. This retreat offers individualized support with what you choose as your practice focus for the week.
Yeah, and as you know, in group at center on Sunday, I said that I thought that was full and almost gave somebody a heart attack who was still planning to sign up. So I guess registration is still open for it. So I was surprised by that, and here we are. It's still open. So that's very good. If somebody's thinking about slipping in, better hop on it.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
And in November, you, Sherry, will lead an email class exploration of how to alleviate stress through communication in challenging situations. This class will use the Enneagram to look at the causes of and behaviors around stress and how to use communication to get back to the present moment.
Mm-hmm. We're going to do that.
Yes, we are. And coming up in December, Sangha will have an opportunity to celebrate this year and welcome a new one with a community of people dedicated to practicing conscious, compassionate awareness. The New Year's Retreat, December 27th through January 1st, in Menlo Park, California, features group discussions, guidance with you, Sherry, and free time to spend in nature on the beautiful, spacious grounds.
Mm-hmm. We love
and
that.
And for
one.
These, yes, we do. And for these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, please press star 6 and then 1. That's a way to make a show and get in the queue. And a conversation on one topic, about 5 minutes in length, is great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think we are ready, Sherry.
All right.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi there. This is Steph from Redwood City.
Hello, Steph.
Hi.
What's new?
From the, I just got back from the retreat yesterday.
Was it a good time?
It was incredible. It was profound is really the only word I can use to describe it, which is what I'm telling people when they're asking all about it and not interested in me describing the whole thing. I just say it was profound. I'm so glad I did it. And move on.
Exactly. That is a great kindness, isn't it? Because it doesn't give voices in anybody's head time to say, well, but what? Oh, I could never. Oh, really? It's just, it was profound. I loved it. Next.
Exactly. That's right.
Yeah.
Because really, that's all they want to hear. And, you know, that's, you know.
And they're going to keep an eye on you. They're going to see. Right. They're going to see what happens as a result of this. Does she go crazy? Okay.
Is it a cult? Yeah.
Is it a cult? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So a couple of observations, Sherry. When I left, it was really crazy. It was, I had about a 2.5 hour drive home, and it was the most peaceful drive I've ever had in my life. And I was thinking, you know, driving around in the Bay Area especially, I guess I always have this baseline of like just stress when I'm driving. Well, always probably, but you know, you really feel it. And I'm, you know, driving and people are cutting in front of me and all of that. And instead of, I guess, waving with one finger, I just waved with my whole hand, and amazingly enough, they waved back, and, you know, I just had a totally different experience driving, and I felt so good, and I got home, and I wanted to make dinner for my family, because I hadn't seen them, and we just had it didn't feel stressful, we just had such a good time cooking together, and laughing, and it was just an incredible experience. I had a great day. I fell asleep, slept great. I woke up this morning, and that's when my anxiety usually kicks in, you know, thinking of what I need to do all day. And it started a little bit, and I was able to do my reassurances. And because what I could feel in my head was the 6 a.m. the to-do list starts already, and I'm like ready to jump out of bed and just start. And so I laid there longer. I didn't let the voices tell me I have to get up right this second. And I did my reassurances, and I breathed, and I said, you know, it's this here now. That's it. And force myself to stay put a little bit longer and kind of show those voices they weren't in charge. They couldn't tell me, you know, I had to get up and start doing everything. Then I did, got my kid off to school, did all of that. And then I came home and did my meditation. Before I started into work, I did my meditation and a recording. And I felt really good.
Good for you. Good for you.
Then.
Yeah. And.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, then I was going to say, and then it was about in the afternoon. So, you know, felt good going along, getting work done. I made a middle of the day recording, which I usually don't do. And then it was at about early afternoon when it was going to be time to pick my son up. And I could start to feel a little bit of the heaviness. I felt like light-hearted all day, and then it was about a few hours ago, and I started to feel a little bit of the heaviness coming back in, and I made a recording about that, and I remember Jen and Chris saying, you know, look, the man behind the curtain, you know, the voices pulling the strings, they're not just gonna sit back now. They recognize that you're becoming aware, and they're gonna go full force. And so I feel like, okay, I had 24 hours of sereneness, you know, and now it's starting to kick in a little bit. And so, you know, but I have my tools and everything, but I am having that experience right now.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. And we do try to prepare people for that, because this idea that I'm going to go on retreat and then my life is going to be for no, it's not going to and nothing in our life has ever been that way. Oh, my parents taught me to say mama, and so they're clear sailing after that. You know, I took my first step, and so I'm an athlete. You know, it just doesn't, nothing works like that. And so you're right. We've got the tools. It's going to come at you, and it's going to, there'll be times when it gets you down, and you'll remember, and you'll practice, and you'll use the tools, and over time, it'll get easier for you to recognize what's happening, to remember what you want to do instead of succumbing to this misery. And you'll get stronger, and it will get weaker, and that is guaranteed.
Right, and that's what practice is. That's what exercise is, right? Like, you get stronger, and you just keep doing
exactly.
it. Exactly.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So this friend of mine says about something else. The only people for whom it doesn't work are people who don't do it.
Right.
And that is true in spades of awareness practice. If people practice, their lives will be transformed. If they don't, it won't. And there's no hard feelings if they don't. It's just that there are so few things in life that come with that kind of guarantee.
Right.
You know, that it really is in our power to transform our lives and to have the life we want. That is available to us. That's just beyond extraordinary.
Yeah.
So this is where we always say, stay close. You know, the voices will try, oh, I don't have time. Oh, I don't feel like, oh, I don't want to. Oh, that's too hard. Blah, 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 blah. You know, if you make those choices for her, because that's what it comes down to. If you make those choices for her, her life is going to get better and better and better, and yours will too, because you're the one choosing the wisdom, love, and compassion that's going to make her life better.
Yeah, I'm taking it really seriously. I'm doing my recordings. I'm going to keep it going, and I emailed or I left my info at the monastery to get a coach. So I'm going to work on this for
sure. Very good.
Yeah.
That's good. Because this is your one and only life. And you might as well make it just the very best of all possible lives. And the beautiful thing about it, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I felt it both ways, with the heaviness and without the heaviness, and I want the without the heaviness, you know.
That's exactly right. And that's the key, right there. It's not you hope for something. Gosh, I wish my life weren't so heavy. I wish it weren't so hard. I wish I weren't so stressful. You have an experience of the way you want your life to be. Now it's just a matter of repeat those steps.
Yep. Yeah, thank you for that.
Yeah, it's so good. And you know, it's not a contest. There's no hurry. You got lots of support, lots of time, lots of space. You can do it.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. And I'll see you at the Mountain View Center soon, I'm sure.
Very good. Very good.
Okay. Yep. Thank you, Gusto.
Very good. We have a good time there.
Yeah.
Thank you, Steph.
I love it there. Yeah, thank you.
All right. Take care.
Bye
bye.
Thanks for joining us, Steph. And Sherry, I appreciated the last piece of It's Not a Contest. Because that just takes it away from ego more. So that's great.
Mm-hmm. And that's something that, again, we can apply to everything in our life. If we take ego standards and contest making out of it, then everything is just becomes fun and interesting. You know, I'm going to learn a new language. If I'm going to learn to play the piano, I'm going to, you know, what I'm going to write a book, whatever it is. If it stays in the realm of life guiding me to greater clarity, then it's going to be a good time. If I turn it over to ego for standards and it has to be this way, and if that, then that, then, then it's just going to be a misery. But it's not the language or the musical instrument or the book writing or anything else that is miserable. It's always that miserable voice in our head.
Yes, exactly. And we have another caller here.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Sandy in Berkeley.
Hi, Sandy.
Sandy.
Hello.
I think I saw you recently, too, didn't I?
Yes, yes. I was also discovering there's nothing wrong with me this past week.
Uh-huh.
And,
uh-huh.
You know, it's funny, when they encourage us to call into the show, I was like, oh, my gosh, it's going to be like 24 hours after I left the monastery. I don't really feel like I'll have that much to report, you know. Got home, pet the cats, went to the grocery store. And, like, no, there's so much that's happened.
a whole new person and a whole new life and a whole new world.
I mean, it was so bizarre. So I woke up in the middle of the night at, like, 1:30 in the morning, and I was like, I know what I want to do. And before we left, you know, the facilitators had told us, you know, like, you might have a burst of energy after this. And I was like, I don't, you know, I listened respectfully. I don't know why, but it was like I wasn't really expecting it, you know. And I got up at 1:30 in the morning, and I was like, this thing. And I'm, like, writing and, like, researching academic articles. It was like, I don't know, it was a whole bizarre middle-of-the-night energy burst. And just, like, kind of connecting things, like, in my personal life and doing this creative work. And I still don't really know what that was or what is emerging, but it just feels like, just this desire to, like, if I just don't want to feel bogged down and blah.
Yeah.
I'm afraid that will come back, maybe, but.
Well, it will. But as we were just talking about with Steph, it absolutely will. But you know the difference, right? And so I would say, with pretty much confidence, that what was going on with you is that what is usually siphoning off your energy, your life force, wasn't doing that. So that's what it feels like when ego isn't stealing your life force. And the way for that to happen, as you noticed over the last week, is to be present, to not give energy to that negativity, to be with the human being, to focus on her, to take care of her, to prioritize her, to be with her, and poof, tons of energy.
Yeah, it's like ego, well, like you often say, you know, ego is what tells you to do something and then beats you for doing it. It's almost like, trying to find the words here. Like, ego is what tells me I'm bored or, like, I don't care. Or, I don't know, gives me this, like, apathetic, even, like, nonverbal feeling and then beats me for it. And so...
Yes. Steals your energy. Because that, and then says what you're experiencing, apathy, I don't care, doesn't, whatever, okay? Steals your energy, gives you that language, blames it on you. We call that ugly.
Steals your energy and calls you lazy and boring.
That's right. That's exactly right. And now you've seen it, Sandy. You've seen it.
Yes.
It doesn't mean, again, that it won't do it 5 minutes from now. It might, and you might fall for it. You might fall for it 10,000 more times, okay? But every time you fall for it, you're going to wake up, you're going to recognize what happened, you're going to realize where you are when you wake up from that, you're going to know, this is what I choose, I want to be awake, I want this life force, I want this energy, I want this life for her, okay? I want Sandy to have the life of her dreams. This is what I'm choosing over and over and over and over again. And as you do it, as we say, it'll be faster for you to catch on. It'll be faster for you to get out of that hole. That negativity will have less ability to take you over and control you. You're going to feel freer. You're going to feel happier.
Yeah.
What I said last night, right? Was it last night we were together? Night before last? It's science. It's not pie in the sky. It's not some sort of woo-woo, gosh, wouldn't it be wonderful if it's science. If you do it, that is what you will have.
Yeah, it feels like something that really came through at the retreat was just this, like, this belief in the ability not for ego to be, like, eradicated, but just to set it aside and choose awareness and be happy, like, all the time.
Yes.
Like, that's something
that's exactly right.
Could be thinkable. And I think my recording and listening practice before, it was sort of like, I don't know, it was like I was, like, soothing the, like, depressed one rather than questioning the depression.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. And now you know what it, she doesn't have to be depressed. Now you know how to help her out of that state and to be here where life is just flowing happily along.
Yeah, there's a lot to be excited about.
A lot. A lot. And let me tell you something. Having done this for a little while, I can promise you it just gets better and better.
I can't wait.
And again, Sandy, stay close, okay? Stay close.
I will.
Take advantage of all the support. You are so very welcome. Go happy, huh?
Go happy.
Thanks for joining us, Sandy. Great to hear from everybody on retreat. Sharon, it's wonderful.
Oh, it's so fun. It's so fun.
Yes. And Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll come back and talk with more callers.
All right, sounds good.
Okay.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Emily from Seattle.
Well,
hey, Emily.
Emily, what's new with you?
In the last 24 hours. yeah, this call is so fun. It's like a extra bonus day of the retreat.
Yeah, seeing all your, hearing all your retreat pals.
Yeah, I'm, gosh, watching the voices coming on right now. But,
of course.
Yeah.
Let's ignore them.
Yeah.
Let's just talk as if they don't even exist.
Good idea. Yeah.
So what have you, you had a good retreat.
I had a great retreat. I came back, like, feeling, I mean, came back with, like, with the best gift ever, you know, just feeling like that you've touched this new level of compassion and just, yeah, what I always wanted. And you know, knowing, just having touched that is, I feel so changed. Like I could, you know, I know that's, I think, oh, I'll forget, that will fade. But it's like, I have recordings from my visit, you know, when I know that place now. And
yes. And that's all the difference, isn't it? That's all the difference.
Yeah.
Nothing can take that away from you. You can never unknow what you know. In any given moment, will it be available to you? Maybe not. Maybe not, because we know how that goes. But you know it. It's just the most amazing thing, isn't it? It's like, I know where I'm going. I know who I am.
Yeah.
And even if I don't feel it right in this moment, I know what's true.
Yeah, yeah. And I feel like I know how to, okay, I can make a special date and kind of go access that place. And, but it's intense to see it swaying back and forth from that, just that deep place and you know, full of feeling and tenderness, and then coming back to hearing those voices yelling at me and feeling them pounding on me. And
so you've probably heard me say this any number of times, because we've spent some time together, but over the years, you know, people just kind of roll their eyes on occasion. And, you know, Sherry, that's so extreme. I mean, yeah, you know, I can be critical of myself, but hate? No. And of course, the reason that they say that is that they are listening to the voices telling them that. And because they have not paid attention closely enough to realize what's actually going on. So, you know, during the time when we're content to, it's the lives of quiet desperation, you know, if we're just going along with this sort of medium level suffering, you know, we take our beatings, we feel bad, we get sort of hopeful, something good happens, we get kind of happy, you know, like that. Then the voices are not, you know, they're content with that. That's enough of your life force to maintain them, right? But then you start going in this direction of realizing you don't have to live a life of quiet desperation. You can live the extraordinary life that is your birthright. Now it gets really ugly. And you know how ugly it is, because you're really present for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And which is a good thing, right? Because there's no longer, you know, nobody could fool you at this point into believing that, well, those voices are there to help you, to keep you on track, to make sure you're a good person. No. No, they're not.
Yeah. Yeah, I took what Michael said this morning about just this moment, and I just, that was it. That was just what was kind of getting me, okay, just what now, and taking care of this person right now instead of the barrage of everything I needed to do right now.
Exactly. Yeah, because this moment can only handle one thing, right? Which is how life is set up, right? So we have to be distant from the moment in order to believe that all these things are going to happen right now. Because all that's going to happen right now is that I'm going to be made to think about them, and that's going to make me miserable. So there's just this moment. I love you, Emily. What now?
Yeah.
I love you, Emily. What now?
Ways.
Yep. What should we do? What should we do now? What are we being called to now? What is it time for now? And always lead with, I love you, Emily. Right?
Yeah.
Because that's the thing that separates those tactics that self-hate uses against us. It cannot survive love. It can't.
Oh.
It cannot exist where there's
love. I love that. good weapon.
Good weapon. It's an excellent weapon. Yeah. And all that we're required to do, you know, we don't have to love it. We don't have to love everything that's awful and hateful in the world that's available to us to see all the time. All of the things that self-hate is doing all over the world. We don't have to love any of that. We just have to turn with love to the human being that we are charged with saving from suffering.
Yeah.
That's it. And everything will open in front of us like the parting of the Red Sea.
I love that. All right.
There's
well,
lots to love,
inspired.
Isn't there? So
there
much
is.
To love. Yep, so much to love. All right. Well, you take good care of her.
Well, thank you.
All right.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Emily.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Emily. Just love that conversation also, Sherry. Very inspiring to hear people's experience.
Yeah. Choosing love.
Choosing love.
That's what it's all about.
Yes. And we have another call here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry. This is Patty.
Well, my gosh, twice in one day. How fortunate am I? What are you seeing after a whole day?
And how lucky am I?
Well,
you know what?
We must be living right, Patty.
We must be. Mm-hmm. So I wanted some guidance. So I had a question about something that came up on the retreat that I might have misunderstood or I...
You're not going to give anything away now, are you? You're not going to give anything away?
No, it's to do with me.
Okay.
The only thing I'll give away is a deep, dark secret the ego wants me to hide, but I'm not going to do that.
Good for you.
Yeah.
That's what we were talking about with Bob. Right?
I know.
Boy, anytime ego wants us to keep a secret, we just got to start blabbing it to everybody who will stand still long enough to hear it.
That's right. So when I was talking about having a recent episode of depression a couple months ago, and what had come up for me was to celebrate feeling better by acknowledging the people who supported me during that time and have a gathering. So that's what I had come up for me to consider doing. And one of the facilitators said, well, that would be a party based on an illusion. So I don't know if I heard it right, that depression is based on an illusion. And so that's what I want to get some clarity on from you or to maybe understand.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and of course, I'm not certain how all of it was framed, but just from what you said, first of all, you could certainly have a party where you bring together and celebrate the people that you feel supported by.
Right.
right? So there's that. Now, is depression an illusion? You know, we were talking about it just a bit ago, in especially with Sandy, in what I think is the clearest way we can talk about it, which is what happens in depression is that the life force is siphoned off, and we are, because it's all going via attention to ego, to self-hate, it's siphoned off. We don't have any left because that negative system has it all. And then when we have no life force, the label that is given to that is depression.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there's lots of stuff, psychological stuff, about what you're depressing is this or that, or, you know, I mean, people have various ways of relating to all kinds of things. But in my experience, as someone from a chronically depressed family, so family history of depression, and then paralyzing depression myself, I feel that I am, at least I'm somewhat of an expert on one person's depression, right? Mm-hmm. And I watched it happen over and over once I began awareness practice and could watch it going on. And that's exactly what would happen. I would have a lot of energy, which is labeled mania. And so I would be very, very high energy. And then I would just watch that energy implode and get sucked off, sucked away into what was then labeled depression. And that's how I realized that the way to get the energy back was to bring it back. You know, that it was being held in that system, and that the way to have it for myself is literally to bring it back via turning attention to the human being, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if we see that as a process, then yes, depression as a thing is not real. It's just a label that's given to a set of beliefs and assumptions. Mm-hmm. And for most people, a physical experience and a mental state.
Mm-hmm.
But is there anything, it's not, is there anything real called depression? No.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing that that's what the facilitators were pointing at.
Okay. And I think what I, ego got a hold of is, yes, it really did happen to you. Yes. You know, it was these causes and conditions that came up that brought this on. You tried your best to take care of yourself, even in that. But, you know, there is delusion just in the human condition.
And Patty, that's really interesting. What you're watching in that is the same process that took you to a place that then was labeled depressed. In the same way that we were talking about earlier, where the life force is drained out and then the person is called labeled bored or lazy or apathetic.
Right.
Or,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's doing the same thing, the same process of talking you into believing its assessment of you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that really did happen, and it happened to you because of this, this, and this. And you did your best. You really tried, but you were unable to. And we can see in stepping back from that how it creates a story for us that once we believe it, then as soon as it starts saying, well, see that, you know, that's like the time last time when you were depressed and you really tried and you weren't able to, okay, and then that becomes reality. So for somebody like me, you know, who would go through that several times a year, it really did become extremely believable because, you know, there was so much evidence, which is what trips us all up. Because once we start looking for the conditions, once we get the label and we start looking for the circumstances that support that label, it's really got us in a bind.
Yeah. And then it reinforces and reinforces with
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now it's got proof. And so it projects out and says, see, you're this and that, and that's happening, and those are they, and that, and it's just telling that story over and over and over.
Yeah.
There we are going, yeah, well, it certainly looks like it's true. I guess it is true. It must be true.
Well,
and it's not.
If you were to take depression and say, treat it the same as anger or mm-hmm. some other feeling
sadness.
That you had, that
sadness, fear.
That you're going to, it's going to come, and it's probably going to come again. And to almost like what I'm thinking about this is that just to normalize it, okay, this, it happens. It's part of,
yes, and
not
and,
all human,
you know, Patty,
condition, but mine, it has happened.
Well, the thing that I always encourage people about is don't label it.
Yeah.
Don't label it. Now, as I'm fond of pointing out, I had all this going on before it became a medical deal. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Before there were medications for it, before, you know, by the time, you know, first they got to manic depressive, I was already well established by the time they came up with that. And then bipolar, and, you know, and I watched people over the years just go right down the tubes as soon mm-hmm. as they get that label. Well, that's mm-hmm. what's going on with me, you know, and experts say it, and so it must be true, and now I have this, and my life is this. No, it's just this moment, or just this,
right,
how
right.
are people saying?
Right.
Yeah, just this moment, right? Because, so as soon as I learned to think about this in terms of, I have a lot of energy, I don't have a lot of energy. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I always, no matter how little energy I had enough to do whatever was called for in the moment. Now, if I wanted to project out into the future, if I wanted to listen to those voices say, yeah, but you're so exhausted. I mean, how are you ever going to do this and this and this and, well, that's completely overwhelming, but it's overwhelming on any day, not just on
mm-hmm.
a day that is labeled depressed.
Right.
So we just reel it in. No labels, and there's just this minute.
Yeah.
And of course, I discourage people from even looking to see how do I feel, because where am I looking to know that?
Yeah. Yeah.
And the place that I'm looking is going to give me bad news every time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
So this is the Zen piece of that, okay? Awareness doesn't need somebody to be aware.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awareness is aware. It doesn't need to go through a middle, what would you call it? A middle person.
mm-hmm.
Yeah. We don't need to look to ego to interpret things for us.
Right.
Direct experience.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. Very good. Let me know what you see, okay? Stay in touch about that.
Okay. Shall do. Okay.
All right. Thanks, Patty.
Okay. Bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Patty. And Sherry, given the time, I'm going to bring another caller on here.
All right.
Next caller. Oh, hold on a sec here. Try that again. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Michael and Sherry. It's Ann calling from the Bay Area, and I'm so happy that I'm here and on with you two. And the fun.
Well, it's lovely to have you. What's going on?
Well, two first of alls. I just finished the communication book, and I just have to tell everybody, if they haven't gotten it and read it, they have to. The next thing I'm going to do is start again at page one. It's fantastic.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's very good. And the second thing is, I'm really looking forward to the Bridgewalk call tomorrow night, because I haven't set up my fundraising page yet, and I'm really looking forward to getting some support to do that. So I'm looking
very
forward
good.
To that.
Yes, it just, much to my absolute horror, I missed the first support call. I had it on my calendar. I had everything lined up, and I don't know, it was sometime in the afternoon when something brought me to, that would have been today. So I too am very excited to tune in tomorrow evening.
Yeah, and life is amazing how it perfectly orchestrates everything, because I actually called in to talk about depression. So it's like, I was like, oh my heavens. So I have to share this experience I had, and it so reinforces what you say, that depression isn't anything. So something triggered this, and it was perfect, because on the radio show call in the morning, the year-long retreat, somebody had called in and it was like, how does this happen? Somebody's speaking directly to what I'm experiencing. And I was just like, thank you for Sangha. Thank you. But anyway, I got triggered, and it was like a vortex of, a tornado, the opposite of tornado, just grabbed me and sucked me down into this, condition.
Dark, slimy place.
Oh, it was just horrific. So, being a good practitioner, what do? I get out my recorder. And I'm just so identified. I mean, just, and I actually start talking from the place of identification. It's hopeless. And I mean, it's so real. And yet at the same time, I know there's an awareness that I'm in the dark room and that it's not real, but it feels really real. So I say, really believing it, why bother? I mean, really, why bother? And again, a moment of grace, this skit that Bette Midler did in like 1985, I looked it up and it's actually on YouTube, she did this whole parody on why bother. And I just started cracking up. I mean, I went from the deepest, stickiest, most horrible place, and then I was just laughing. And then the thing that happened just totally surprised me. I was like, I completely disidentified thanks to that great sage, Bette Midler. And then I went, wait a minute. I can't disidentify. I'm depressed.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And there was this movement to try to get back into it in order to figure it out. And it was wow. I have to understand this. I have to know why this happened and what are the stories and why are they there. And it was just like, and I was able to do it. Guess what? I was able to get identified.
Yes, because that's how it happens, right? That is my obsession with get out of the conversation in your head, because we can be talked into anything, right? People are talked into committing suicide, and there's nothing going on except a conversation in their head that they're looking at, listening to, and believing. So that is great to see right there, isn't it?
Oh, well, and I...
That it could talk you right from falling down on the floor, it sounds like, laughing, to...
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I need to get back in a conversation about this in my head and then get thoroughly identified
again.
Isn't
that insane? Well, I had never seen the belief that figuring it out, knowing what caused this, understanding the conversation, all of that is a way to freedom. When I just experienced freedom and then I was going to do what I thought I needed to do in order to be free. You know what I mean?
Oh, I so know what you mean. Yes. So there are a bunch of elements of this, Anne. The first one is, I don't know if you have considered this, but I'll ask you to consider what a supreme blessing it is to be identified and to know it.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Right?
Oh.
I mean, right there. That's enough to be grateful for a lifetime.
Yes.
So you're sort of almost completely identified, except there's a little place over there that knows, wow, I'm really identified. Okay,
none of this is real, even though I'm totally believing it.
Yeah. So that's huge right there. Then, being divinely guided as we are, it drops in to awareness for you this Bette Midler thing. And you go look it up.
I couldn't believe it was online. I was like, oh, my God.
That's right. Well, and of course, I would say, being somebody who, you know, this goes back to the, I can't believe that people are constantly talking about what's going on with me, right? So that you started out talking about, right? You know, you'll tune into the morning show and there's whatever is going on with you. And the three people that we talked to, the first three people we talked to, talk about exactly that. And you just go, okay, well, thank you. That really worked well for me. Right?
Yes.
And so in that same way, it drops in that there's that Bette Midler clip. Now, I don't think it would have dropped in if you hadn't been able to access it. So,
of course,
you were able to go access it. But again, the next miracle, there were several in there, but this one is that you did it. You stayed with it. You followed that guidance. Let's call it what it is. You followed that guidance. You found the clip. And you watched it, right? And you laughed hysterically and you disidentified. And then from that disidentified place, this is where we were talking earlier about there are no mistakes, right? This is the whole Bob conversation that started us off, right?
Yeah.
And so there you are from this disidentified place. You get to see how that whole process of, here, let's re-identify you.
Yes.
And we'll call it figuring out how not to be identified and how to get to freedom, right? So the whole thing was laid out for you just perfectly. How can we ever complain about an education like that?
Yes. Yes, and it reminds me of, what is that, Landmark Forum, where they have you tell a story and then you just tell it over and over again.
Until even you can't stand it. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, see, I'm laughing again because it's, I mean, it really is. It's this so boring story, but when I'm identified, it's so real and so true.
Oh.
And people need to get in there with me and commiserate. And it's just like
it's
a pile of garbage.
Oh, yeah. Well, and why bother? Again, you know, that's that place where, you know, for some people, they hit that why bother, and it's a final conclusion. You know, that's how serious this is. And to realize, so we were saying with Emily, you know, to get to a place of clarity that we realize how ugly, how hateful, how vicious that system is. And that it would actually kill people without a backward glance.
Yeah. So I know we're at time, but I just I'm just so incredibly grateful for practice because, you know, without developing that muscle, it wouldn't happen. And it's so helpful to be reminded that there are so many miracles in all of that, and there's miracles happening every day. We just need
everywhere.
To pay attention to them. So thank you.
The thing that's so good to me, Anne, about this sort of thing is that it does reinforce. If people are just, you know, this is the first radio show they ever tuned into because they somehow stumbled on us, right? All the way from there to new to practice, you know, just been practicing for 2 or 3 months or been practicing for a year or whatever, to realize that if we stay with it, it just keeps expanding. It just keeps getting deeper and deeper and deeper until finally, even something that takes us to that, we hear the voice in the head say, why bother? And we have a clarity about every step of the way to get there. And to realize what that is and to know that we don't believe it, we don't have to believe it, and we don't have to live that life.
And one other thing I will say, the wonderful blessing about reading the communication book while this was happening was the message over and over again, there is no problem except the conversation happening in our head that we're believing. So the gift to realize it has nothing to do with the content of life. It has nothing to do with the people in life. It has to do with the story in the head, and that's it.
Yeah. And it's so hard to get, isn't it? We just practice and practice and practice our little guts out, and it gets clearer and clearer and clearer because, boy, it is it's a lot to go up against. You know, we must never lose sight of the fact that this is, in fact, the hero's journey, and that everybody on the path is a shown up hero.
Amen, sister.
All right. Amen, sister. Thank you, Anne.
Go happy.
Happy.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Anne. And that is definitely an amen, sister moment, Sherry.
An amen, brother.
100%. Amen, brothers. Amen, sisters. And thank you all for a fabulous show.
Yes, thank you, Michael. Thank you, everybody. Go happy.
Yeah. Go happy. Good night.
Good night.